If you look at the early church in Acts, after Jesus died, rose again, and then ascended to heaven, before the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, the apostles were devoted to prayer. And it says that in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 14. It's getting kind of hot. Verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now this is right before their ministry just takes off. So they don't have Jesus, they don't have the Holy Spirit yet, and they're just kind of, you know, they're at a time where they don't really know what to do. And so that's when they pray. And that's what I want to see our movement be, where, yeah, we have a lot of things going on. We have 400 or 500 people in this room, so things could be going really well. But we're on a campus of 30,000, and I just think that God could do so much more, and I want to see God do so much more. This is also where the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church in New York City was at. They just had a handful of people in a rundown building in downtown New York City. And they had, week by week, they had to get together enough money to pay their bills. And just miraculous story after miraculous story, God provided the money to keep this building alive. He went on a little getaway time to just kind of pray and ask God what to do about this church that seemed to be failing. He gets back after hearing from God and just felt like they needed to devote themselves to prayer. So they did. They started a prayer meeting once a week. And everyone in their church started going. And they started growing, and people kept coming, and their whole ministry, their whole church was based on prayer. Now this church, I think it's like 20, 30 years later, is thousands. If you've heard of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, very successful choir, and this whole thing is based around prayer, and it still is. And that's what I want to see our movement be all about. The second C is that God cares about us. In 1 Peter 5:7, just a great little verse, it says, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, as a little Hirsch, a little squirt, Hershey squirt, I understood this very well, and I haven't changed a bit, except for I got a haircut. In like 15 years. He cares for every little thing, and I knew that growing up. I remember one time my parents were on crusade staff in Miami, Ohio, and everyone was leaving. We had a picnic at this big park, and everyone was leaving, and we were the last ones left, so we're gathering our things to go, and my parents couldn't find their car keys. So we looked around for 15, 20 minutes, such a cute little kid, and I was just like, Daddy, let's pray, or whatever. I always did that, just said with a childlike faith, let's pray about it, and maybe God will help us to find our keys, something that, you know, you may think that he's not concerned with. Literally, within a minute, we found the car keys just in the grass there. And that's just to illustrate that God does care about every single thing in our life. He wants us to find our car keys so we can get home and have a place to sleep. The next passage that I want to look at real quick is Zephaniah 3:17. Just to show that God cares for us and that he loves us. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I just find it to be unbelievable that the God of the universe that created all of this, the creator of every one of us, rejoices over us with singing. He takes great delight in us. He cares for us. He cares for every single detail of our life. And he listens to everything that is going on. And he wants us to succeed. He wants us to place his trust in him so that our lives will work out better because he knows what's going on. A little illustration in my life. With this grief conference that we had in a couple weeks, my house's initiation has been on that weekend for the last 2 years. And so I was beginning to think that it's just inevitable that any of the new guys that were going to get initiated wouldn't be able to go because they have to get initiated. That's just the weekend you can't miss. But I began to pray that that weekend would be moved so that guys in the new pledge class could go. And sure enough, I just found out this week that it was moved. And the guys that are going to get initiated are going to be able to go. I think we all see this in every one of our lives. That when we pray for things and we really want them to happen, God answers our, and He answers our prayers. The third C is that God is in control. He's in control of everything, and because of that, I mean, I think that's even more evidence that we need to make this movement founded on prayer. I want to turn to Jeremiah 29:11 and 12. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." God knows what is going on in every one of our lives. He knows where we're going. He knows our path. And the funny thing is that we don't. But sometimes we try to run things like we do.